Ephesians chapter number 1. Again, thank you for all of you who helped out with the preparation and the breakdown of the party this morning. It was really a blessing to see the church come together like that. It really does my heart good to see that, and I really am thankful that we have servants here. You know, we're all called to be servants, and it's good that we do that together. I think God will bless that for sure. So thank you for that. Thank you for those of you who showed up to that choir practice this afternoon. That was a good time. We sang Brother Scott to death. He just got over COVID himself, but thank you for that. Ephesians chapter number 1 tonight. Let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted unto the beloved. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for the Bible. Lord, I hope they're ready to use it tonight. We're going to look, go on a little journey tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, that everyone will just be attentive. Lord, keep my heart and mind focused on the message tonight. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit now. Lord, allow me to preach and say, Lord, what it is that you would have me say. Lord, let these people not listen to me, but listen to your Holy Spirit. Just let me be a messenger, God. Bind the devil off this place tonight. Thank you for bringing us back into your house tonight, Lord. We just want to honor and praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So here we have a man named Paul. Let's talk a little bit tonight about Paul's ministry, some things we can learn from Paul. Number one, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why is this important? The Bible says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of who, church? Look, did you know if we would understand who we are, disciples and apostles and representatives of, that our Christian life would be an awful lot easier? If we would take every single day we wake up and understand, okay, God, I am doing whatever I can do to uplift your name today, to make you look good. I'm an apostle of you. I want to be a representation of you. If you would start your day out like that, how much better of an individual would we be? Paul understood he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, we forget to whom we are called. Can I say Paul was not an apostle of his friends? Now, he was an apostle to his friends, but he was an apostle of who, church? Jesus Christ. He was not an apostle of his friends. You say, what do you mean? I mean that Paul did not let his friends dictate what Paul did. Paul did not let the media dictate what Paul thought. Paul did not let his friends dictate how he was going to think, what he was going to do, where he was going to go, who he was going to be with. He was an apostle of who, church? Jesus Christ. Paul did not bend into and try and win the world. Paul was a difference maker in Christ Jesus. He did not try to blend into the world, is what I was trying to say. He did not want to look like the world. He did not want to sound like the world, which, by the way, he used to be a pretty bad dude. Before his name was Paul, if you read about him, his name was Saul, and he was a persecutor and murderer of Christians. Could you imagine me being a pastor at Red Level, but formerly I was just a guy that hung around Red Level and killed Christians, and then try to witness to the same people later and their family and their friends? You think we got it bad? This dude had it bad. But how'd he make it? Because he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He understood that old things are passed away. All things are become new. Paul was created a new creature in Christ Jesus. It wasn't about Paul anymore. It was about Jesus. Paul did not want to blend in with the world. He was a difference maker in Christ Jesus. Paul was not an apostle of his friends, but also he was not an apostle of his co-workers. You know, how many of us have jobs? Raise your hands. Now let's just be honest. How many of us have coworkers that we wish we didn't have? Nobody's being honest in here. All of us, Brother Randy. Don't you work for yourself? There's probably your boss. Paul was not an apostle of his co-workers. You say, where are you going with this, Brother Drew? I'm saying, I've worked jobs my whole life since I was just a teenager. And you know, every job I've ever had, from Piggly Wiggly when I first started working at for $5.15 an hour, and at the end of the week I'd go in there and that check would say $70, and I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, I can buy gas for another week. You know, but I had bosses and other people that I worked with. You know, you're always picking up somebody's slack. If you're a good worker, you're going to find out that you'll pick up somebody else's slack along the way. Because if you're wired right, and if you're wired normal, I say normal, I'm a pretty, like, when I do a job, I like it to be done right. You know what I'm saying? I don't like if you see the little thing that's off and you're just okay with that, something's wrong with that. Okay, but you'll find yourself often picking up other people's slack, and maybe you'll find yourself working with people who just hate their jobs and they're down and they're negative all the time and they never have anything good to say about the boss. They don't pay me enough. I don't get enough hours. Well, maybe if you'd work harder, you know, you might get a little bit more. Maybe if you'd show up to work more than 3 times a week and you might get a better paycheck. You know what I'm saying? You'd be around those people. Brother Joe's shaking his head right now. He was telling me some stories this week about all the overtime he's getting. People complaining because he gets all the overtime, but hey, he's the only one willing to work. But you know, you're going to have some coworkers that you're just not going to like. But did you know that they should not dictate your spirit? You should always be in subject to God and to Jesus. Those coworkers, listen, we wrestle not against what, church? Flesh and blood. That is what we have to remember. It's all about Him. The coworker is not our enemy. Paul was not an apostle of his co-workers. Paul was not an apostle of his family. Say, where are you going with this? Hey, did you know that there's going to be people in your family that rub you the wrong way and that upset you and that do things and make you think, well, why do you have to be family? Why do I have to love you? You know, we all have those family members. We love them, but they're just always constantly, it seems like every time you turn around, there has to be something wrong, or they need something now, or they need something then, but you know, they never want to help themselves. You know those family members, they're there. But did you know that those family members are not who we're wrestling with? Paul understood he was an apostle of Jesus Christ to his family. How about that one? Paul understood his place in Christ Jesus and did not forget the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understood it was by the will of God that he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul was not confused about the will of God for his life. So what is the will of God for my life? Let's go on a little journey through the Bible. How many got your Bible? Say amen. All right, I love hearing the pages turn. Here we go. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's go there. A few scriptures tonight we're going to go over. What is the will of God for my life? Now again, I'm not up here to tell you, Brother so-and-so, you should be a preacher, or you should be a welder, or you should be a plumber. That ain't my job. But I can show you biblically what God expects from you as a Christian. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is talking to us as believers. If you're a believer, say amen. 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 Okay, good. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's us, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what, church? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is God's will for my life? God's will for my life is not to desire to be like the world. God's will for my life is to be transformed by the renewing of my mind every single day. How do I do that? How did David do it? He woke up, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Then will I be able to teach. I just messed up my verse, but listen, you're never, ever, ever going to do what God wants you to do if you're constantly trying to fit in with them out there. Folks, I'm talking about in everything we do, we need to be different. And I'm not saying so different that you don't talk to them, that you don't need to be a snob. That's not what I'm saying. But if folks can't look at you and know that you are a Christian, something is wrong. There is something awful wrong if they don't know you and identify you as a believer. There was no question when Paul was transformed, they knew who he was. They hated him before, because he was persecuting Christians, and they hated him even more when he started preaching, and he ended up killing him. How about you? What's your testimony? Do people even know that you're a believer? Or are you one of these kind of Christians that just keep it real quiet and keep it to yourself? And it's like a secret. You're making it through life, and all of a sudden you wake up and there's Jesus and he looks down. I can only imagine the conversation. Well, I saved you 50 years ago and you never told one person about me. Come on in. But there ain't going to be none of that well done, thou good and faithful servant stuff. Not to you. Hey, people around you ought to know that you are a Christian by the way you act, by the way you talk, by the way you look, by the way you dress, by the way you walk, by the places you go, by the things you do. We can go on and on. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. What is God's will? You know what God's will for our life is? Here it is. In everything give thanks, for this is the what, church? In Christ Jesus concerning you. So what does that mean? Well, this is why I like to do praise and testimony time on Sunday nights. I enjoy hearing your praises and your testimonies, and I enjoy sharing mine with you. It's good that we as believers share them with each other, you know, because there's a lot of people out there who just really ought to be more thankful. It's like Brother River back there, he said, I'm thankful that I'm saved. If nothing else that you could be thankful for, church, you ought to be thankful that you're saved. And here's the thing, you ought not be ashamed to raise your hand and say, I am so thankful that I am saved. Hey, church, you cannot go to hell if you're saved. Can't you be thankful for that? The Bible says in everything give thanks, but not just the good things. The Bible said in everything give thanks. So what about when bad things happen? I'm supposed to give thanks. You're supposed to say, yes, God, thank you for this trial. And here's how we usually handle the trial. We start saying, what if, why? No, 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 no. Ask the question, what is it that you are trying to show me in this trial? And I'll tell you what, the trial will be so much sweeter if you'll go into it knowing that the Lord is right there with you and trusting that He's right there with you. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, you can be thankful for that. That's why you can be thankful in your trial, because you're not alone. He already sees the other end of the thing. You might not see it for days, months, weeks, years. You might still be praying, but guess what? Pray on. Give thanks and tell God, thank you for this trial. What is it that you want to show me? He might just say, hey, I just want to show you how good I am. And at the end of that trial, you'll have no problem celebrating. You'll have no problem saying, Lord, thank you. So that's the will of God. What about 1 Thessalonians 4:3? Back a couple pages there. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You know what that means? That means we ought to be set apart. We went over that a little bit. We're not going to beat that horse to death. But that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in what, church? And honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. You know what Paul's saying? He's talking to a group of believers, and there's a reason that he's having this conversation to this church. He's saying, look, why on earth are you living a life of fornication? Why are you living like lost people, knowing that you're saved? And, you know, if Paul preached it to the church back in the day, do you think it's important for us as a church to hear this too and to heed to this warning? He said, stop living like the devil. It's what he's begging them. Stop living like this. He said, don't live in the lust of concupiscence, not as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man, verse 6, go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us into what, church? Uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk. We can prove that. We just did. John chapter 6. What is the will of God? hear people say all the time, I'm just sitting around waiting for God to tell me what he wants me to do. Well, if you'll just read that Bible, you'll find out exactly what he wants you to do. John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that day, at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Did you know that God's will for you is to be saved? Did you know that even in here today, I mean, I'm talking to lost people and saved people in here now. If you're here right now and you do not know God, biblically, I just showed you that it's his will that you are to be saved. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what, church? Repentance. Hey, can I say this? There's room at the cross for you. And it's God's will that you come to know him. It's God's will that you have everlasting life. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 13. There's an awful lot in the Bible about God's will. We're just touching the surface here tonight. But it's good stuff to remind us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. You know, it's God's will for us to be well-pleasing in his sight. Hebrews 13, 20. The Bible says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do what, church? So why does God work on his children? Is it for our benefit? It's for us to be able to be conformed to his image. It's for us to do his will. So then it says in verse 21, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It is God's will for us to be well-pleasing in the eyes of God. Let me ask you a question, parents. Raise your hand if you're parents in here. How many of you like it when you tell your children to do something and they just deliberately disobey you? How many just love that? Any of us? How many tolerate it? Don't raise our hands. We all do. But here's the deal. If the way you feel when your child deliberately goes against what you say, how do you think God feels when we go against what he has to say? Because there's no difference. It's called rebellion, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to whoop that child. But then when God whoops us, we get mad. And we quit. We quit church. We quit our Sunday school class. We just get mad because if God really loved me, he wouldn't have done that. Well, if you'd have listened to him, he wouldn't have had to chasten you. The Bible teaches whom he loveth, he also chastens, right? Why do we spank our children? Why do we discipline our children? Because we what? We love them and we want them to be better, right? Well, how do we think God feels when we just on purpose disobey? We do it all the time. 1 Peter 2:15. This is a very, very important one right here. 1 Peter 2:15. Your testimony matters. 1 Peter 2:15. We'll start in verse number 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Look at this. For so is the, what church? Will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So he says, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Did you know that your testimony should back up, you know, in other words, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk, right? It's real easy to go and say, hey, yeah, you know what happened to me at church this week? I got saved this week. And I'm getting baptized in a few weeks. But then all of a sudden they see you walking and doing other things that you ought not be doing, or doing the same things you're doing over and over and over again. And hey, you're talking the talk, but you're not what? Walking the walk. Did you know that your testimony should silence the ignorance of foolish men? Now, who are foolish men? That's lost people. Okay, they're not mean. They're not, you know, ratty. They're not bad, bad people. They're just lost. But your obedience to God should silence their mockery about your God and about your testimony. Your testimony should stand strong no matter your circumstance. Your testimony does matter. Look at verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Now look, that word free does not mean you are free to do what you want to do. Understand that you are free from sin because God sent His only begotten Son Jesus to die for you, and you did not deserve that. You better understand that when you're looking in the mirror. You did not deserve what God did for you. He was willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you did not, I did not deserve for anybody to give up their only begotten Son for me. None of us deserved that. But the Bible says, as free from sin, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. In other words, don't go out there acting a fool because you know you can't die and go to hell. Don't take it for granted. Don't buy the fire insurance, as some people like to call it. Come on. Guys, we're free from sin. We should be God-honoring. He said, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So it's God's will for your testimony to silence the mockers. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the what, church? And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, wouldn't it be good if we as individuals started investing in something that has some eternal value? You know, and I'm not saying don't have stuff, but what I'm saying is everything, all the momentum and the desire and the unction that we put into pleasing people. I mean, I'm bad about this. I'm a people pleaser, and I'm wired like this. And you might not be. You might be a person that's wired. You could be okay being at home all the time and never being around individuals. But that's not me. I need to be around people. And I'll be honest with you, I like to be liked. And I mean, I'm wired like that. I don't like if I know someone has aught with me. Listen, I'm coming to you. If you got aught with me and I find out, you better just be ready, because I'm coming to ask you, what's going on? What did I do to you? Please tell me, because I don't want to be at odds with another brother. But listen, if we are putting all this time and effort into these worldly things and all our money and our possessions, and we're just investing in things that are just going to pass away, by the way, they're going to burn up someday, and the only thing that's going to stand is God's word and your salvation, that's it. You know, wouldn't it be good if we put that time and that effort into some prayer time over some lost young man or lost young lady or lost elderly man or lost elderly lady that we might know in our community that for years we've wondered if God's ever going to save them. We know they're sick. We know they're going to pass eventually. Wouldn't it be good if we invested some time and just called another brother or another sister once or twice a week and just said, hey, let's take 10 minutes. And let's just pray together on the phone. Let's lift somebody up to heaven this week. You say, what would that do? You're investing in eternal value now. God hears those prayers. Remember, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You think your prayers don't work? They do. God loves the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Church, it availeth much. You hear it said like this, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. Here's worse. No prayer, no power. Folks, we need to learn to invest in eternal value. What is that? That means lost souls. You need to invest in some lost souls. Say, what do I do? What if they don't want to be around me? Do I go hang out with them in their part? No. Remember, everywhere you look in the Bible, if you'll read, multitudes of sinners were following Jesus. But I promise you, it wasn't because the night before Jesus was out drinking with them. Jesus, you're pretty cool at the bar last night. I think I'm going to go hang out with you now and listen to you preach. No. He wasn't at the rock and roll concert with them, hanging out, jumping up and down. And by the way, Jesus wasn't a hippie either. Let's just set that straight. Okay? We don't have a hippie Jesus. He didn't have long hair. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, by the way. He did have a beard, though, because they plucked it out. So I'm good on that. But listen, the world has painted such a horrible, vile picture of who Jesus is. They have no idea the mockery they've made of such holiness. I wish I knew exactly what he looked like, but I don't. But I can tell you this, one day I will. You know that song? One day I'm going to walk on streets of pure gold, where they tell me the half has never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones up on Zion's holy hill. One day I will. How about you? One day we're going to see him. And we're going to realize that all that time we spent investing in carnal things really was not worth it. You know, I like the old song that says, it'll be worth it after all, child. You know that one? It'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these climbings, it'll be worth it after all. One of my boys are harmonizing with me over here. I like that. Look, did you know it will be worth it after all? It's not as bad as we think it is, folks. This is not the end for us. We have a far greater home waiting for us. Tomorrow morning, most of us are going to get up. We're going to go about our routines. Some of us will go to our offices. We'll study. Some of us will go to work. We'll be teaching. Some of you will get up. You'll cook breakfast for your husbands, or your husbands, you'll cook breakfast for your wives. Your husbands will go to work. Your wives will go to work. And you'll live your routines. And we're just constantly doing it over and over and over again. And before we realize, at the end of the day, we'll lay our head down and we'll think, I haven't read my Bible today. I haven't prayed today. But you woke up today and breathed God's air that he granted you. He allowed you to wake up, right? You wake up, and one of my favorite things, I heard a testimony of a mama one time. She got up, and for years she'd been bitter and bitter and bitter. And one day the Lord got a hold of her heart. She woke up and she cracked her baby's bedroom open, and she said, I could hear the air breathing in and breathing out of my babies. And I went from that bedroom to my son's room, and I could see his little chest going up and down, and tears started coming down her eyes. And she said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I really do have something to be thankful for. Folks, when's the last time you just turned over and looked in the morning and your wife was right there next to you? Or your husband was right there? Or your babies are still here with you? Guys, it could change like that. I watched a 38-year-old mother on Valentine's Day in 2014 pass away. She had 8 children. She cooked pizza with her kids that Friday night. It was her husband and her anniversary also. They cooked pizza together. They had a movie night. She kissed her babies goodnight, told them she loved them. Midnight, tragedy struck. We're sitting in the hospital. She's on a ventilator. They brought her back twice, but look, let me just tell you something. When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. For the next 2 days, her husband decided, for the kids' sake, he was going to move her up to Anchorage, put her on a ventilator, and hope for the best. I mean, the doctors told him there wasn't much need for that. But he said, you know, I got to do it for my babies. And I'll tell you what, I'll never forget when their grandpa showed up and he said, guys, he got his grandbabies together and he said, look, you got to come back and tell your mom goodbye. She's not coming back. I'll never forget those babies walked in there. And then when they came back out, half of our church was in the hospital with them, you know, loving. I mean, it was the most devastating moment of, I think, probably I've ever been a part of. And one of them little boys ran out, and it was weird. It was like they came out, like, just everywhere, and they just fell into people's arms, you know. And the little boy, he said, Mr. Drew, my mommy's not coming back. 4 years old. Four. All I could do was cry. All I could do was think, God, why am I so unthankful? Why do I take life for granted? Folks, we should never take that for granted. Tomorrow, I could be telling your story, or you could be telling mine. You just don't know. We really do have something to be thankful for. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. We're almost done. It is the will of God that you be a thankful individual. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14. You know, it's God's will for you to understand the will of God. God doesn't want, you know, he teaches us he's not the author of what? Confusion, right? You know, why would God give us a book that he authored but not give us the knowledge to understand it? Let me answer you that. He would not do that. He would be expecting something impossible. He authored it. His Holy Spirit lives within you. Therefore, if the author's living inside, folks, you have the ability to understand. But you might have to study. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as what, church? But as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Would everyone agree with that? You know, we don't need to be walking around like a bunch of fools. We need to be wise and understand that this ain't where this thing stops. The reason they're like that is not because they're crazy. It's because they're Christless. They don't have Jesus living within them. And whose responsibility is that? Ours. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not what, church? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. How many has ever seen someone intoxicated in here before? And is it very evident when they're intoxicated? Well, let me tell you something. As silly and as crazy and as evident and as obvious as it is that they are intoxicated, the Bible is saying that is how obvious you ought to be filled with the Spirit. To the world, they should be able to look at you and say, obviously, he's not about what we're doing. Obviously, we should not talk like that around him. Obviously, we should not speak like that around her. Obviously, they're not willing to take part in our gossip. They're different. As obvious as it is for you to point out the drunk on the street, it should be just as obvious for them out there to point out the believer in the church. And not just in the walls. I'm talking about out there. They should say, that's a Christian. That's a believer. That man knows the Lord. That sister knows the Lord. Folks, that's Bible. Isn't that good stuff? I'm so thankful the Lord showed me that. And boy, was I convicted when he did. Matthew chapter 6, and we're done. Matthew chapter 6. We've only skimmed the surface on what the will of the Lord is. I think we've all got enough to work on now, including myself. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:33. You know it's God's will that we seek him first. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye what, church? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I wonder who you're seeking tonight when you wake up in the morning. I wonder if you're seeking worldly pleasures, all forsaken. Hey, listen, we ought to be seeking God and what He wants us to do. And by the way, we should seek God in all things first. Imagine, I dare you to try this next time something slips your mind or next time something happens that you can't control, just stop in your tracks and say, okay, God, there's nothing I can do here, but I know someone who can. It's like, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, right? Look, God does. When you don't know the answer, God does. When you can't see the end, God can. Right? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for these people, these men, women, boys, girls who are here tonight gathered in this congregation. Thank you for New Hope Independent Baptist Church. Thank you for this community. God, I pray that we'll be a difference in our community. I pray that we've done all to seek you tonight. I thank you, God, for meeting with us. No doubt your spirit was in here tonight. Thank you for letting us learn and glean from your word. Lord, pray for these individuals. Lord, please be with them as they go about their weeks and their jobs and their homes and wherever they may be this week. God, just give them a blessing. Lord, just be with them. Let them remind them, God, that you'll never leave them or forsake them. Help them seek you first and understand what the will of God is in their life. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.